I really want to say thank you for the girls for choosing those wonderful hymns. The words, sometimes we sing words and we don't really take them in. But I was very interested in taking in those words that you sang today, girls, and it was wonderful. Thank you. Just fits in everything. And of course, this is the Lord's hand, not ours. So thank you. Now, what do I do with this? Okay. Don't go away. No. I need you. It doesn't work. Something's wrong. Started with the theme of in Christ, privileges and responsibilities. First session, we defined what in Christ means, and our prayer is that everyone here can claim the privileges because you can say, I am in Christ. The second session, we found that it means that we have to be under the control of God the Holy Spirit in putting Christ preeminent in all things. Not some, but all things. And thirdly, we looked at our brother in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, and learned what the phrase called the just shall live by faith, and recognize that in spite of trials and difficulties and the perplexities the brother was in, he went up to the tower, met with the Lord, and the Lord answered him. And so how he changed from perplexity to praise. And so how we can do that too, because we are in Christ. And now we come to a very interesting and responsibility. We heard Josh call for helpers and people to assist with the work at Morning Star. And we see through the scriptures many calls for working for the Lord. So we want to spend a little bit of time today, I hope it's not going to be over an hour, to talk about service and the spiritual gifts. So, I'd like you please to read, sweetheart, as we always do, start with reading the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Thank you very much. So we want to talk about spiritual gifts. And as usual, I take you to the dissection room. So we're going to dissect it and find out how we can learn about our spiritual gifts. So what we will do, we start again by some introduction and look at the various lists of spiritual gifts in the scripture and their categories, and ask ourselves, how can I identify my own spiritual gift? Because every person in Christ has at least one gift. You cannot say, I'm not gifted. You are. That's my Bible. My Bible tells me so, that we are gifted for a reason, and we're going to look at that in detail. So what is a spiritual gift? You know that I like always to start with the definition of the term, because some people mix it up with other things, as we will see. There are two Greek words used to describe the gifts of the Spirit. One refers to the source, pneumatika, the Holy Spirit, which is the pneuma of God, and charismata, which refers to the fact that they are granted as an act of God's grace, the charis part. So we understand that a spiritual gift is given by grace, free of charge, not based on worthiness or personal abilities. We're going to define the difference in a minute. But by God's sovereign choice, God chooses who he gives the spiritual gift to. So I cannot claim that I have that gift from myself. No, it's a free gift from God's sovereign grace. As part of the new life granted us in Christ, and are meant to be used for the edification or building up or strengthening of the body of Christ, to the end we get the glory of God. It's not for show, it's not for pride, it's not for bragging about. It is for the edification of the body of Christ, the other believers, and to the end, we get the glory of God. So that is what we're talking about when we say that we have been granted the spiritual gift from the Lord. Now, there in the scripture we find three biblical lists, and you will get those in your handout, so you're going to go home and read them and meditate on them and understand them. One in Romans 12, it's easy to remember. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and also in Ephesians 4. The Bible lists them for us in Romans and Corinthians. And in Ephesians 4, it's more of the lists of the offices within the church. And in 1 Peter 4, the lists the broad categories of the types of gifts that God gives. So this is our first step. We go to the Word of God and find out what is written about it. So the next one is, what do we learn from that? Well, the first question we have to ask ourselves and confuses many people is this a talent or a spiritual gift? There are similarities and differences. Both are given by God, no question, and intended to be used on behalf or to the benefit of others. And to whom they're given is different. The talents can be given to believers and non-believers. But the spiritual gifts are given to those that are in Christ. They're given, we also can be given talents because all these come from the Lord Himself. The minute that you place your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, at this time, gives you a holy spiritual gift. And it is used or should be used for the building of the church. But a talent is a genetic thing. It needs training, and so does spiritual gift because you have to exercise it. But the spiritual gift is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. The talent is something that maybe you inherit. Some people are talented in music. Some people are talented in certain things, but they may not necessarily be believers. So there is a little bit of difference, but also similarities between the talents and the spiritual gifts. So if we want to really dissect them further, we would say both the source come from God through parents. The spiritual gifts come from God independent of parents. They're possessed from birth, the natural talents, and the spiritual gifts are given at the time of conversion. The purpose is to benefit mankind naturally in the natural talents, but in the spiritual gifts, they benefit the body of Christ. They're a different sphere of action. The process, yes, they must be recognized, developed, and exercised. If you play the piano, or if you play the guitar, or if you have any of the natural talents, you have to recognize it in the child and develop it and exercise it to get it fully developed. And in the same way, the spiritual gifts, once recognized, they have to be developed and exercised. The function, yes, everything ought to be for the glory of God. But in the spiritual gifts, they are particularly to the glory of God by the believers. So, if we look at the Corinthian listing, there are 13 given by the Holy Spirit. And that was in the year after Christ in 56. The Romans listing is 7 given by God in AD 58. And the Ephesians listing are 5 given by the Lord Himself in AD 60. And why do I say that? Because it's important. When we come to look at them individually, we'll realize some of them were for a certain purpose, initially, particularly when the church was being built up, initially, when the full canon of Scripture was not yet known. So that is important when you're doing your Bible study, not only to know the context, but the historical part of it, so you know why and when and where these things happen, because Paul was very careful in teaching that some of those spiritual gifts were given to original people after the Lord's ascension for a certain particular purpose. That now that the full canon of Scripture is known and in our hands in various languages, they may not be as important as they were then. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. Okay? So, the categories of the spiritual gifts. The apostleship, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. This was what we would call foundational gift. The apostles were the initial ones that started the whole church function after the Lord's ascension. And that's why we call it foundational gift. And it was given to establish the Ephesian, the infant church, as we read in Ephesians 2:20. The gift of tongues or different languages was given in 1 Corinthians 12, as we read, and in chapter 13 as well. And the Greek word there is glossa, which means languages. It's not a, you know, sort of an understood wording of things. It is the ability to speak in several languages. I can speak in three languages, but I learned them. But it was not a miraculous learning. At that time, this was again another temporary foundational gift, which meant that they instantly spoke in various languages so that all the people would understand what they're talking about because they had people of different cultures. Now, we're glad that everybody understands English here, but in our assembly, for instance, we have a large contingent of Chinese brothers and sisters, so we have a special person to translate the languages. We have means to do it, but it's not the same as it was in the miraculous gift of the early church. This was a temporary foundational gift, and it meant they were instantly able to speak in an actual human language which they didn't know before. And the interpretation, again, another miraculous gift, which is found in 1 Corinthians 12, and that's why I asked her to read the 1 Corinthians 12. It's hermeneia glossa, which means revealing to the listeners the meaning of the message in another language. This is very important for us to understand because there are people until today have mistaken understanding of what are the miraculous gifts. And they were given to the early church. Now, the Lord can do anything at any time. We said this morning, He's sovereign. He can give people the ability to do whatever He wants. But that's not the purpose of those miraculous early gifts. They were given at the time to establish the infant church. And that's why we call them the miraculous gifts. The apostleship, the tongues, and the interpretation. Miracles. Well, the Greek word here again is dunamis. It's the spectacular demonstration of God's power. And again, it's a temporary gift, and it's a sign gift. These were given again to the early church so that it authenticated that this was really from God, because that was a new thing that was happening. Now, does the Lord heal people today? Of course He does. But it's not at the whim or demonstration as it was in the beginning, because that was given at the beginning of the early church. The healing. Well, we hear a lot about the miracles and the healing these days. But again, the Greek word here is iama, which means the ability to instantly heal physical and mental ailments. I wish I had that. I went to school and learned about diagnosis and treatment of various illnesses. And sometimes you would treat the same patient with the same type of treatment. One would work and the other one won't work. And there was no one thing fits all, as they say. No one has that ability except God, of course. But God can still heal today. But it seems to have been primarily limited to the apostles and early church. And we're going to talk about this again. So, stay with me here. The second question we ask is, are the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit working for us today? It's not a question of whether God still performs miracles, because he does. In spite of doctors, in spite of people, in spite of everything, he does. But it's whether the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, described primarily in 1 Corinthians 12, are still active in the church today. God is sovereign, remember that, and can do anything today. But it's not at the whim of the person. It is a God-given gift, and it's not as prominent as it was when the church was first started. The apostles performed miracles, and so did the Lord, but it was not given to all Christians. Some people think, oh, well, I've become in Christ, I can do miracles. No, you can't. It's not, first of all, it's not you that does it. And second, it is only by God's permission and God's sovereign will that miracles happen. So the early church, why did this happen? Because the early church did not have the complete scriptures, and they needed the foundational, temporary, miraculous gifts to confirm the message. It was more of a verification of the message of the apostles, rather than just a, now we know, we have the Spirit and we understand, and we have the scriptures to back us up. So the primary purpose of the miraculous gifts was to prove that the gospel was true and the apostles were truly God's messengers. Enabling gifts. Well, there is faith. We talked about the just shall live by faith. But some have a supernatural trust in God and his ways, stimulating others to trust him more. Have you encountered people who are like that? I have. It sort of looks even in their face. They have this supernatural trust. They're going through major difficulties, and they know how to fly by or go through. I can't understand. A godly woman I knew very well, when they brought her a dead son shot by a friend, she said, "The Lord gave and the Lord took away." I still can't understand that. But that was the supernatural trust in God and his ways. We all aim to have this trust one day where whatever we go through, we can say, yes, by faith, I can believe that God does not make mistakes. And yes, he did this. I can't understand it why, but I believe he did it because he knows that this is for the best. We are to live by faith, as we said this morning, not by sight. Paul reiterates it in Romans chapter 10. You see, the spiritual gift of faith exhibited by some believers, that they have this strong, unshakable confidence in God, in His Word, His promises, and power of prayer. I can truly say, in the last 10 years, I've developed a much stronger faith in the power of prayer. I've known the Lord for 73 years, but it's really took me that long. I hope it doesn't take you that long. But the power of prayer is something that is a very important enabling gift. You see, the Christian faith is nurtured. You cannot have a plant and you don't put it in the sunshine and you don't give it water. It will die. And the Christian faith is like that. You may be in Christ, but you're still an infant in Christ. You have not developed. How do I nurture faith? How do I become strong? Through the Word of God, reading it, meditating on it, hearing it, studying it, acting on it. And it becomes a habit and activated by prayer. Are you determined to enrich your faith today? You can, you know. You can nurture it because it's given to every believer. Discernment. In Acts 10 and 16 and in Acts 8, we talk about discernment. The Greek word here, I like the understanding of the Greek words. I'm not very good at Greek, but I had to ask and understand because sometimes in the translation, a lot of things are lost. And I go to either the Greek translation or the Arabic translation sometimes to understand the actual meaning of the word. So it's the Christian who possesses this gift is able to discern, to know the difference, whether the manifestation originates from God, the devil, or the flesh. Sometimes we say, oh, I think God told me to do this. Well, are you sure it's God's voice, or is it the flesh, or is it the devil? Do you know how to detect imposters in directives and in your decision making? That's the discernment. It's a, some people have more discernment than others, but it's another one that you can develop. Is it human? Is it divine? Is it demonic? We need to discern those spirits, because if we don't, we'll get into trouble. Wisdom, the Greek word here is logos sophia. So the application of the truth to everyday life needs thinking, needs stop and think, stop and assess, stop and evaluate. Don't rush into a decision without knowing, is it the truth? Am I doing God's will? It's not just natural wisdom. Some people have more wisdom than others. But godly wisdom enables us to resolve problems, meet the needs, and deal with difficult circumstances in a way that others around us are going to be surprised. That's what wisdom is all about. Knowledge. You see, the Greek word here again is gnosis. It's like the diagnosis. Information or revelation regarding a problem or need that cannot be gained by a person, a group, or a situation through normal means. I believe very strongly that prayer activates this spiritual gift. It's given by grace, cannot be earned. You can ask the Lord for it. Because knowing theory of things is not enough. It's the understanding of what you're reading. The team or private or public gifts or permanent gifts, as we know them today, one of them is speaking. Evangelism. Again, the Greek word is euangelistes, only found in two other places in the New Testament. And that's the ability to clearly communicate the gospel and teach other Christians to do it as well. Not many people have the gift of evangelism, but those that do, do it passionately, leading others to the saving knowledge of Christ. I guess I often said about myself, I'm an evangelist at heart. I'm not as good as some evangelists, but I really have the desire to see other people get to know the Lord as their Savior. All of us are called to evangelize in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. But some are given an extra measure of faith and effectiveness in this area. They're given the unique ability by the Holy Spirit. They have a burden in their hearts. Do you have a burden in your heart about your family members, your neighbors, wherever the Lord has put you? Do you have this burden to take somebody with you when you get to heaven? Or do you neglect the opportunities that are surrounding you? Because this is one of the things that we are all expected to do. The gift of evangelism. The gift of prophecy. It's an extraordinary and unique gift. It's different from those of the Old Testament because the Old Testament, they spoke the authoritative word of God directly. And they always said, thus saith the Lord. But when we talk about the spiritual gift of prophecy, it must be tested as we read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 John 4. The revelation is directly from God. It's a foundational gift that was given to the apostles. It's the ability to receive an inspired message from the Lord and deliver it to others in the church. It can take the form of exhortation, correction, comfort, inspiration. They do not constitute the authoritative word of God, but are the human interpretation of the revelation. So when they say, if a woman prayeth or prophesieth, it's not just saying what is going to happen in the future, like the prophecies of the Old Testament. It is explaining the word of God. So you can say, some of the prophesying description of the gift is that we can all be enabled to explain the scriptures and to give the human interpretation of the revelation received from the Lord. I received from the Lord this message from the scripture, and I am giving it back to you. So prophecy is both the apostles as a foundational gift, and also can happen today, but we have to test those prophecies. So when somebody comes to tell you something, check it out. There is so much wrong, error, in doctrine that's going around, even in the assemblies, I dare say, because of people misinterpreting what the Lord has given us in the scripture. So it's a very unique gift, and not everybody can see. My husband was excellent in detecting. When a speaker would stand up and say a few words, he would detect quickly where the leanings are. And he would say, oh, be careful. This person is this, this person is that. And he has tendencies for the wrong error in doctrine. Not everybody has that ability to discern the wrong doctrines and prophesy it as such. Teaching, that's something we all know. We have a lot of teachers around here. According to the Greek word, it is described as the coherent explanation and effectively communicating the application of the Word of God. There are lots of people who say they have the gift of teaching, but I dare say they don't. And we're going to explain why in a minute. They love to study the Word of God and help others to learn the Scriptures. These are the true teachers of the Word of God. Not everybody can do it, but again, nobody can be proud and say, I'm a good teacher. It's only the Lord's gift in grace. Exhortation, paraklesis. Again, it's motivating others to action, application, and purpose. Sometimes you need to be told things. You don't want to hear everybody tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear, that's exhortation. It's the motivation. It's the application and purpose of the meat of the scripture and using the scriptures to encourage God's people and provoke them, as the scripture says, to good works. Now that you're in the body of Christ, we need more motivators. We need more people to say, let's discuss this. This is not good. The Bible says, my Bible says, but you have to do it in love. If you do it in pride, God hates pride. If you do it because you know more than others, it won't get the blessing. Sister of mine, the other day we were discussing this, and I said to her, you know, if the Lord is in it, the result will be a blessing. If the Lord is not in it, there will be no blessing, and maybe confusion, and maybe conflict, and maybe division. And that's what happens when people start correcting one another. One of the questions that I have here, we'll talk about later. Exhortation is a very important thing, but it has to be done wisely, in love, and carefully, if it is to be effective. Shepherding, pastoring, a pastor teacher, leadership. Again, it has a nice Greek word, and it really means caring for the sheep, individually or collectively. The oversight, the training, the feeding, the coaching, the leading. It's really closely, in my mind, related to the gift of administration, but it is different in it showing a caring aspect that is different. Ministering gifts. We women are very good at ministering gifts. Serving. Again, that's very important, the practical help. both physically and spiritually. You see, the Holy Spirit endows some believers with this gift. And they do it behind the scenes. Sometimes we don't know much about what is done behind the scenes. To put a conference like this together and all the details, there are lots of workers behind the scene. You may not see them, you may not appreciate them, but I know my Lord does. Serving. Yes, it's very important to understand that even if your gift is behind the scenes, the reward is as great, and if not greater, than the one standing in the pulpit here in front of you. Serving the Lord with gladness. Wonderful ministering gift. The other one is mercy. I wish there was more mercy shown to one another. As I said more than once, we're quick to judge, but grace and mercy? No. We point four fingers at people and only one at ours, at our weaknesses. I'd rather do it this way. See the difficulties in myself before I see them in others. And if I see a mistake, how do you manage it? How did my Lord do? Is my question for you. Do you really administer mercy to people who don't deserve it? My Lord did. And if I call myself in Christ, shouldn't I be behaving like him? Patient, compassionate towards others, especially when they are suffering. Yes, comforting those in need is something we need more of. We are called to be merciful in Matthew 18, Ephesians 2. And it's founded in God's mercy to be there for others as our Lord did. Don't judge. Show grace and mercy. I'm not saying don't judge the wrong errors. No. If somebody has made a mistake, we all do. God hates this and God hates that, yeah. But also God hates pride. And sometimes we are self-righteous. Show grace and mercy. Wonderful gift to have. Giving. Releasing your material resources. Doesn't matter how much. But my example is the widow that put the two mites. She could have kept one and put one in the box. But she put her two mites in. That's why the Lord commended her. She gave everything she could to the work of the Lord. Give sincerely, generously. I can tell you, you give a dollar, he gives you 100. If you ever gave anything and you felt it hurt, the Lord rewarded you. I'm sure many have experienced that. Without the pretense or the hypocrisy. What about being hospitable? Doesn't matter if it's a cup of tea and a cookie. I like cookies, by the way. And they provided me with a number of cookie boxes in my little place here. A cup of tea with a cookie is with a heart that is open. It's not what you give or what you present. It's your attitude, your heart. In hospitality is not just, don't be like the Egyptians that like to put 15 types of food things, and if they don't, they feel guilty. No, 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 that's not the idea. The idea is open hearts for hospitality. Good stewards, yes, always happy to do it. Giving is something that is very important in the spiritual gifts. Administration, well, that's the organization, the administration, the promotion, the leading, the implementing plan. Sometimes we put those down and say they're pen pushers, is what the term they call, pencil pushers or something. No, it's a very difficult job to have a good administrator who can organize things and be task-oriented. So in 1 Peter in 4:9-11, Peter gives two groups of team gifts. The speaking gifts we talked about, evangelists, prophets, teachers, exhorters, and shepherds. The ministering gifts, the support gifts, shepherd, mercy showers, servers, givers, and administrators. But you see, scriptures teach us that we're given spiritual gifts for a purpose. It's not something to brag about. We're told that these gifts are to the glory of God. But our role is to do it with diligence and cheerfulness. We're told that each part of the body is important, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12. There are organs in your body that you don't know even their name. But without them, you cannot function. Pituitary gland, for instance, and others. I'm not going to give you an anatomy lesson, but that's just comes to mind. There are parts of the body that are doing things that you don't know about that are very essential for the human body. It's the same thing with the spiritual body. In 1 Peter 4, we're told that the purpose of those gifts is that in all things may be praised through the Lord Jesus Christ. And spiritual gifts are given by grace by a sovereign God, not based on whether you deserve it or not, or whether you have abilities or worthiness. No. Believers will differ in their gifts, but all gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ and to the glory of God. So how do I identify what gift I have? It's no magic formula or definitive test given. Study carefully the description of each spiritual gift. Try to identify yourself in one of them. At least one. You may have more than one gift. But the important thing is to check out with others. Is this a confirmation? We have a sister who thinks she's great in teaching the scriptures, and she discussed it with a couple of us, and we said, you know, you need to work more on some things, and we gave her honest feedback. She wasn't happy. No, no, I have the gift of teaching. Well, you need confirmation by more mature people in the faith. Sometimes people identify the gift in you before you recognize it. But the most important thing is ask the Lord in prayer. That's crucial. Go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I identify with this particular gift. Show me if I am right or wrong. Go to somebody who's mature and say, I'm wondering whether this is so or not. What do you think? Not what we want to do for him. And I think I've repeated this 3 or 4 times. because it's very important to know. It's not what you want to do for the Lord. It's what He wants to use you for. And sometimes these are not the same. Never do it in personal pride. Always in humility. Me, stand up. 45 years ago when I was invited to do the first conference in Guelph Bible Conferences. Me? I can't stand in front of 200 women and talk. No. I couldn't see it in myself. And the more I speak, and it's been 45 years I've been done conferences, the more I feel inadequate. And yes, you may think I'm strong and standing here speaking with confidence, but inside it's flickering because I know I'm inadequate. And if I don't depend on the Holy Spirit of God, I'm of no use to anyone. But if He calls you to do something, He will equip you for it. He will give you the courage, the strength, the ability to do it. And there are so many areas to serve and opportunities. Where the Lord has put you is where you start. Don't let the devil dissuade you by telling you you're inadequate, you cannot do that. Who do you think yourself you are? Yeah, I know he does that. He does that even with me. You're 80 years old and you want to go and do a conference? You crazy or something? I don't care. If the Lord is going to give me an opportunity, He's going to equip me and give me the strength to do it. Have you really thought what your spiritual gift is? What has challenged you today, personally? What are you going to do about it? Your choice. You're not a robot. I hate those things that when you start filling a form and they say, I'm not a robot. Yeah. I gotta prove to them that I'm not a robot. Well, you're not a robot. You have a free will and a chance. What are you going to do about what the Lord has spoken to you personally? It'll be different for each one of us. I know He's spoken to me about certain things. As I said earlier, I'm just sharing them with you. I'm not just preaching at you. I'm just sharing with you some of the things I've learned, some of the things I've studied, but it's speaking to my heart too. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow at the end of this day to give You thanks for the Lord Jesus, who made it possible for us to come boldly in the presence of the Almighty God and call Him Abba Father. Being adopted as children of God, being in Christ, it cost us acceptance of the free gift, but it cost Him His lifeblood on the cross for each one of us. We thank You for Him. We thank You for His word and for the messages He has given us through God the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that each heart may be moved. We pray again, if there be one person who has not yet accepted the free gift of salvation, that she would do before she leaves this conference. And for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would recognize what You would like them to do for You. That they would recognize that yes, being in Christ has many privileges, but also has responsibilities. And we know our Lord is faithful to open our eyes to the areas where we can be used of. And Lord, grant us to be faithful in listening to the voice that was spoken to us today, and that we would respond with, "Here am I, mold me, make me more fit to the service of the Lord." Because we lift it up in the name of the precious Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.